A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.
The sun shines on a home in St. Charles, Illinois. Inside, an old woman answers a landline.
Hello.
She steps into the next room.
Terry?
What?
Dr. Santamani's office is on the line. You want me to get down too?
Yes.
All right.
Terry takes the phone.
Hi, doctor. Well, my cousin, yes.
In photos, the women smile.
This is her cousin talking. The tremor seems to be about the way it was to begin with.
No, it's not the way it was to begin with. It's a slightly better.
Her hand shakes. The old woman, Pat Henschel, listens in.
Okay, we'll do that.
Okay, Laura.
Thanks for calling, Laura.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
I got a tremor in this right arm, and it bugs the heck out of me.
We've never had health problems before. All of a sudden, we have.
Pat puts away silverware.
I think we're getting to the point in our lives we've got to make a decision.
Nope, not yet.
Pat checks the mailbox.
I think we have to give our house up now. There's too much to maintain, really, with it.
Suitcases rest in a room.
We're of an age where I think we're going to have to get rid of it and sell.
A room with two beds.
This would be a big, big move for us. And where we go, I'm not sure. It has to be a decision that we both agree on.
Pat grabs a purse.
I think we're all set, y'all. We're going to Edmonton. The family said that there are some really attractive places up there, and perhaps we'd be interested in trying to come back there to live. I'm not pleased about being in the frozen north, I can tell you.
I don't care where we go. As long as we're together, we'll be happy.
Pat and Terry stand at an airport ticket counter. An employee moves Pat through a checkpoint in a wheelchair. A plane flies over puffy clouds. Text on a building beside train tracks reads, Alberta Wheat Pool. Then, they huddle with family in a home in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada.
Annie, yeah. Terry has been our rock. And you might have lived far away, but you were always our rock.
Yep. You've been my rock since the day you were born.
If you need us for anything, you ask us.
We'll get it done. Just to make sure that you have a good place to stay and that you make the decision that fits you guys.
We're going to try to figure out the answers.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, you betcha.
And so far, we don't know what the answer is.
Who knows?
They've been in my life since day one.
I was 13. You were 11.
And they've always been Annie, Terry, and Auntie Pat.
Diana Boland, Terry's niece, gives a nod. In family photos and home movies, young Diana skis with the help of a smiling Terry.
Annie Terry has always been the constant in my life. She's always been the one that was there for me. She's always been the one who looked out for me in the midst of all the chaos we lived in.
In an old photo, young Diana grins beside a portrait of Terry. In a home movie, young Diana, Terry, and other family members smile.
Annie Terry and I have this amazing relationship. It's like she's my mother. So there's this tremendous bond between Annie, Terry, and me.
Diana and Terry hold hands. Then, Diana wears a cap and gown.
I love the other kids, but to Diana, I'm special.
They grin at a graduation.
She's like the daughter I never had.
Diana beams at her wedding.
It was her that made the difference in my life. She was there when I was baptized. She was there when I graduated. She sent me to university. She was the one who heard me when I said I wanted to be a teacher. I would never have what I have today without her, ever. So I owe everything to her and to only her.
In photos, a middle-aged Pat and Terry grin.
Didn't know they were gay till three years ago.
I felt like I was sort of living a lie. So I said to Pat, the next time Diana comes down, I'm going to tell her. And she came down, and I was really nervous.
I could see that she was not herself, and I couldn't understand what was going on. And I saw Pat say to Terry, you have to tell her before dessert.
At their home, Pat and Terry have dinner with Diana.
We had a lovely dinner and still hadn't told her, and I was getting more nervous because I didn't want to lose her love.
In the kitchen, Terry shifts her feet.
So Pat said, well, you better tell her. So I came back in with dessert and I said, Diana, I got something to tell you. we're gay.
At dinner, the three women pose for a photo.
She was just shaking and she started to cry. And I went and put my arms around her and I said, I don't care.
She was wonderful. And I said, you can go back home and tell the other kids if you want, I don't care. But you were the one I wanted to know.
Now you can tell your stories.
So since that day, it seems like a great big thing has been lifted off my shoulders.
Diana's brother, Kim.
Terry, how long have you guys been together? 68 years?
65 and a half.
65 and a half years.
Didn't you get shocked when I told you?
No, I never thought about it. I looked. Terry was such a role model to me. It never even dawned on me. I didn't really care, really.
No. Had a relationship.
I loved them so much. I didn't want nothing to change, and I didn't really care. Terry, I was brought out by a drunken, homophobic, cheating. He instilled it in me that it was really bad.
Her brother Tom, my father, used to say, "She needs to be fucked by a big black guy." Setter Street. He used to say that all the time, sober, not drunk. So I went to Terry and I said, he said that you're a lesbian. And she looked at me and said, we're not. Living in the States is expensive and we're just really good friends and we live together. And I never thought anything more of it because that's what she said.
Photos of the couple and personal notes appear. Text appears. A Netflix original documentary. Ryan Murphy presents, in association with Blumhouse. A Beech Hill Films production.
That lived within the heart.
A sign reads, "Welcome to Illinois." He didn't have to audition.
All too soon, my secret.
The couple smiles in a city and on a beach.
Became impatient. To be free.
Birds fly.
Now
women wear tuxedos.
I shout it from the highest hill.
Women dance together.
Even though the golden daffodil.
Women stand behind bars.
At last, my heart. An open door.
Young Pat and Terry share a dance.
And my secret love's no secrets anymore.
A title appears, A Secret Love.
I have to tell you, when I found out, I was shocked. I was shocked.
Niece, Tammy Donahue.
I love my Aunt Terry. It's just I feel a bit betrayed. That she couldn't have told us sooner. I mean, we've all done things, but have we lived a lie for how many years? 60-some years, like.
A family plot.
But now, staring at this, man, this is 2001 when Grandma Rosie died. Terry and Pat, they put their names on there.
A home movie of Rosie.
Grandma Rosie confided in me. She called them the girls, you know, living together in Chicago because it's safe to be together. She figured Auntie Terry would meet somebody still and get married. So Grandma had no idea. Hearing that my aunt's lesbian's hard for me, I can't imagine my grandmother. She wouldn't have understood.
My mother wouldn't have understood.
She probably would have disowned me.
Dad and I talked a lot. I'd come home from ball season and bring him a bottle of booze from the States and we'd have a little party, him and I. Yeah, I had a lot of good times with him.
In an old photo, Terry drinks with her father.
And I think he knew. But Dad was a very understanding man. I love my mother, but she wasn't as understanding as Dad.
In grainy footage, children open Christmas presents. Young Pat joins the family holding drinks.
And Dad liked Pat very much. And he told me I'd rather see you this way than married to someone who would mistreat you.
Young Terry kisses her father. Now she wipes her eyes.
I don't know, but when I think of my dad, I cry. He was such a good guy.
Young Terry sits with her middle-aged parents, her arm around her father, her hand on her mother's shoulder.
Who I'd like to see be buried here is her husband, Jack. Terry and Pat should be together. I am not questioning that, but Grandpa should be here with Rosie.
Jack's gravesite.
Because he's out there all by himself. And now I understand. All these years they've been together and they've hid this secret from us, but they should get married. Living in sin is not a good thing.
Next, Pat and Terry sit in Diana's kitchen in Canada.
You're going to have a good afternoon. You're going to like this place.
You think we'll like it better than that first one we saw?
Well, I don't know. Depends on what they have to offer. And I think it's all about support now. It's all about making sure that you're cared for and that you get the care that you deserve.
Right.
If something happens to one of you, we got to make sure the other one's got support. Whatever it costs.
What if I live to be 106 like Grandma?
Then you can count on me to carry you. I'll do it.
Terry pats Diana's leg.
So far, I don't have any feelings about Edmonton.
Pat eyes Diana.
Except for you. You know, that's different.
Annie Pat has been there. She's been good to me. If you want to move here, I still don't know whether she's good to me because she thinks she has to, because of the way Annie Terry feels about me, or whether she's good to me because she really wants to be. And I mean, that's just the way I feel about her. I've always felt that way. It doesn't feel genuine for me. It doesn't feel real for me. It feels contrived on both sides.
This is going to open up a whole new life for you.
I hope I like it.
Pat won't let me in and just accept the fact that I'm there. It's always been this competition.
At the facility.
Just a shade, but not by much.
I think we're both playing a game.
Pat follows Terry and Diana.
I think we're both playing a game because of Annie Terry.
So this is our standard one-bedroom, and it has a balcony.
You know, for a one-bedroom, this is very nice.
Actually, it really is. Room for everything? Mm. Or not quite?
Not quite.
So on our way, this is our hair salon, and we're going right here.
We have not had any same-sex couples, but we do have family members that are. But no residents, per se. Not as yet.
If there was, would they be accepted?
I believe so. I don't know if you've got a sense of our community, but everywhere we go, they say hello. It's all about people. It's about who you are, then your orientation.
Okay. Because we are a couple.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's wonderful.
And we are a couple of many, 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 many years.
How many?
65 and a half.
So you were pioneers in a time when it wasn't
that's
popular.
Right.
Exactly, in the 40s.
No, I think it's a wonderful thing.
What have you got available right now?
I have a one-bedroom. That's it.
No, I don't want
everything is on the wait list.
One bedroom is too small. So we have to sell a house.
Yes.
Which could take some while.
How is the market right now?
Not very good. Mm-hmm. No. Not very good.
Annie Pat's throwing up roadblocks all over the place. I think that she doesn't want to come here because then Annie Terry will have someone else in her life besides Pat.
Terry sits with children.
She's never had to share Annie Terry with anybody.
A photo album.
There's Grandma Rosie. There's Brian and Diana.
Our family is a good family. We are there for each other. But my take on this, Pat has kept Terry away.
Grandpa and Tom.
Beautiful.
I believe that Terry would have been around her family if it hadn't been for Pat. So maybe that's where the root of the contention is that Pat stole her away somehow.
70.
Everybody loves Terry. They'll put up with me only because of Terry, I think. They'll put up with me. So there you go.
Pat gives a tight smile. Next, in a home movie, young Pat, Terry, and another woman hang out on a beach in Chicago, Illinois. The couple grins, wearing pointed hats. They swim. On a beach blanket, Terry sets a hat on a friend's backside. They giggle. Next, Pat and Terry lounge on the blanket wearing the hats. Now, the couple ambles through the revolving door of a city building. Two gray-haired men greet them at an apartment entrance.
Good to see
Hi,
you guys.
Hi,
Jack. How are you, darling?
Great. How are you?
Yeah, how are you?
Nothing.
Good.
Hey, Jack.
Good to see you.
Oh, nice to see
Come
you.
Come on in.
cold.
I'll take your coat.
Jack Zagas.
I will take the drink orders. With you. Are you having scotch?
I want to have some scotch, scotch and water.
Scotch and water.
Please?
I'll have a very weak scotch.
A weak scotch.
With water.
Oh, okay. Oh,
but you know, the family is there, and we love them dearly.
I know it, I know it.
You know, they want us to come back there to live. I think Edmonton's a lovely city, but my heart's not in it.
Yeah.
It's too cold.
John Bird.
Are you thinking about moving to a warm climate then?
Well, you know what? If you'd come along.
I'm available for travel.
It's difficult to leave your friends,
John. Of course it is. You know that. Yeah. I know it, I know.
Remember, we'd have these big parties?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Thank goodness sakes.
Party photos.
Friends are, well, they're everything, really. Many times friends are closer than family.
John serves dinner.
Thank you. My gosh, this looks great.
It's a down-home dinner.
Thank goodness that we met you guys. Thank you, Jack.
There are two guys from Chicago.
Yeah.
Oh, the best. The best.
They clink glasses.
You girls came in the 50s or 60s?
Yeah, I came down in 46 and played 4 years professional.
Okay.
I came down to live in July of 1950.
But for a while, we really didn't care to meet anybody. We were so happy to be alone and away from Canada. In the 40s, you had to be very careful.
Well, we had to be so careful in the late 50s and the early 60s.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yes, absolutely.
Terrible.
Headlines.
2 out of 3 Americans look upon homosexuals with disgust, discomfort, or fear.
Detective John Sorensen.
There may be some in this auditorium. There may be some girls that'll turn lesbian. We don't know. 1 out of 3 of you will turn queer. And you will be caught. Don't think you won't be caught. And the rest of your life will be a living hell.
The homosexual responds by going underground.
In archival footage, a neon sign reads, "Gaiety." Women socialize in a bar. Now, Yvonne Zipter, author, University of Chicago Press.
Those were the days where bars that were suspected of being lesbian bars were frequently raided, and if women didn't have on, I think it was 3 articles of women's clothing, they could be arrested and thrown in jail. So it was not an easy time to be out.
Marge Summit activist, former bar owner His and Hers.
If you went to the bars, they would check you with a flashlight, and as you came out of the bar, if you had fly front pants on, you went in a caddywagon. You were impersonating a man.
Marge makes a face. Next, in a black and white photo, women wear button-up shirts and trousers. Headlines report gay bar raids.
I never got caught in any of the raids. I jumped out windows and ran like hell.
Handcuffs bind wrists.
I thank the people of Chicago for their vote of confidence in my public rectum.
Old man Daly put a lot of my friends out of work because they printed everybody's name and what they did for a living. Teachers and professors and principals in schools, they lost their jobs.
Tracy Baim, publisher.
There are many stories about people losing their jobs and committing suicide. Some of them lost custody of children, certainly divorces, all sorts of things happened as a ramification of the bar raids.
We never went to those bars.
We never went to a bar.
We didn't want to be sent back to Canada. They had a raid.
Oh, sure.
You gals were immigrants.
Yeah.
So you couldn't afford to screw
we
up.
We have a green card.
I think parties are the main place that people met each other.
Yeah. I remember going to these parties. We'd all, us girls, would get in there and we'd dance up a storm.
The only time you let your hair down is when you were out and you were with your own.
At a party, a man raises 2 glasses. Young Pat dances. People sit around a coffee table drinking and smoking. Now at John and Jack's.
Have you guys thought about getting married?
No.
Yeah, I have. I have, but he has.
To you. Hey, there's something you haven't told me.
Have you thought
just
about
just the other day, they said it's legal now to get married in Illinois.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I said to Terry, well, what do you think, my dear? She says, well, I don't know.
Are you still holding out?
Jack, I'm not sure yet.
We didn't know you were thinking about it. I think it's wonderful. If you
well,
do.
I think it's delightful.
For me, there's no reason for it.
No. Okay.
Everything, you know, is going as it should right now.
Well, I feel the same way, John.
To me, I don't love another person as much as I love him.
There you go.
I feel like John. We've got everything settled, and there's no reason for it, really.
But why not?
Pat stares at Terry across the table. Then, a car takes them toward the Chicago skyline.
We lived in Chicago maybe 42 or 3 years, I believe. Michigan Avenue is so pretty right now. They have boulevards and in the spring.
Oh, I'd like to get on one of those things.
Segways, yeah.
They pass Segway riders. A car drives by. In archival footage, sedans cruise through Chicago. A traffic light shifts from red to walk. Women in dresses cross an intersection. A parade moves down Michigan Avenue. Marchers carry a sign for Mayor Daley. Now, Pat and Terry stroll through Chicago. Text on Pat's sweatshirt reads, "There is no crying in baseball."
We worked 26 years in the same office.
They enter the John Hancock Center.
People have said, how can you live together and work together for 26 years?
We had a wonderful time working together. We did.
We worked for Watson & Bowler, very fine interior design company.
Upscale furnishings.
And we had a rich clientele.
When we went to the office, we were strictly business.
We always wore dresses and high heels, and the makeup and lipstick, the whole thing, always.
We looked like ladies, and I think the people we met liked that.
Anybody who was not gay didn't know. They simply didn't.
You just thought we were good friends, which of course we were. Very good friends.
In a photo, the two women wear dresses and pearls. Now, they approach the entrance to the Hancock Center Observatory.
These ladies were part of the first tenants of the building.
On a windy day like today, you could hear the building.
Creak. I'm sure it's still happening.
Here?
Yeah.
Oh, God, no, we can't hear it creak. Remember there was a hole in the ground?
Oh, yes.
I remember. It was so deep.
They gaze out an observatory window overlooking Lake Michigan. Narrow beaches stretch along the lakefront below. Terry points toward a building.
We lived right over there.
I think you see that church there? We were very close to that. About 4 blocks, 5 blocks away from there.
Old Town?
Yes.
Oh, wow, yeah.
In archival footage, a black sedan drives past. Young Pat ambles along a snow-dusted sidewalk. She skips. Terry exits the sedan and skips.
It's been a while since we've seen our place. We were on the second floor, and when we found this place, our landlord said, "I'm never going to let you go." And he didn't. We were here for 20 years.
Young Pat approaches her apartment building.
But we loved living here. It was great.
Well, the area is so wonderful. We just walked up here and got the bus.
We've been working, 10, 15 minutes from here, I think.
Young Pat boards a bus. A car drives by. Now, in the observatory, Terry hands a man an old baseball card of herself.
Oh, my gosh. You're a catcher.
I played utility.
Awesome. So you did actually have to wear dresses?
Yes, we did.
Oh, my gosh. Did you ever slide?
Yeah, we awesome. we had one girl that did 201 stolen bases in 1 year, and no man has done that.
Oh, my gosh.
Then, at a dining table, Terry signs her baseball cards.
This little card, you know, it's so funny. When people know that you played in the All-American and the League of Their Own, the movie, they get so excited. And then if you give them a card, they just it just blows them away. It's so funny that little card has made so many people happy. And all the girls say the same thing. So I try to keep a couple on my purse.
Archival footage.
That All-American pastime, baseball, brings out the All-American Girl Baseball League for spring training at Alexandria, Virginia. Okay, gals, play ball.
A woman throws a pitch.
My dream certainly came true because I can remember telling my dad, if I could play ball every day, that would be my dream.
A player scores a hit. Mary Mergelski.
So it happened.
And one of the women who actually got paid to play ball was Terry Donahue. Terry played for the Peoria Red Wings during World War II on what they used to call the All-American Girls Baseball League.
Philip Wrigley, who had the Cubs, he had the idea to fill the ballparks with women ball players. So he sent his scouts out through the United States and Canada for the best softball players that they could find.
In footage, a woman swings, another bunts.
He got 200 of them into Wrigley Field, and out of the 200, he chose 60 girls to form four teams. And then he chose the Midwestern cities like Rockford, Kenosha, Racine, South Bend, Peoria to be in the league that he formed. And I can say, being Canadian, that we were very happy that Wrigley included Canada. There were also a couple of girls from Cuba.
Women in different colored uniforms smile with their hands on their hips. Terry looks at a photo album.
Here's the old tractor. Oh my, that's the old farmhouse. Oh, here's Dad holding me. Tell you, it was a happy home. You know, I was born and raised on a farm, Mirabel, Saskatchewan.
Of course, I grew up during the Depression, and there was no money. And after you had your homework done, what was there to do? So I just went out and played with my brother. He was an excellent ball player, and I think because of him made me better, because he would throw me grounders, and you know how brothers, they want you to miss it, and he would throw them hard or hit them hard to me. So I think that was kind of fortunate for me.
Young Tom wears a baseball uniform.
So when this scout came, how old were you and what grade were you in?
When I was playing ball in school, I was scouted from the team in Moose Jaw to go in there to play during the holidays after school was out. When the scout from the States came, I was 19. Then I came down here when I was 20.
A train rolls by. Farmland passes.
I came down in 1946 all by myself. I didn't know about Chicago, how big it was or anything. All I know that I was coming down for a tryout and I could hardly wait.
Images of Terry playing baseball move in slow motion.
So my number came out, I ran out to shortstop and then they started hitting balls. And I tell you, I had a good day that day because I was picking them up like crazy and running for them and getting them. And then I had a dirty bounce to cut my eyebrow. So I went off to the side and they said, take her for stitches. And I said, no, put a Band-Aid on it. I'm going back out. I'm not finished. They probably thought there's a gutsy kid. Then came allocation day, and I'll never forget, it's in this great big room with all these young girls who were all there trying to make it. My name wasn't being called, and I thought to myself, well, I guess I'll have to go back home and say it wasn't good enough. And then my name was called for Peoria Red Wings. I tell you, Chris, I was the happiest girl in that room.
Terry wears a uniform that bears the text, City of Peoria, Illinois.
And I stayed with them all 4 years, and they never traded me.
Terry and teammates gaze at a field. Then, Yvonne Zipter.
These women had clearly laid down a foundation for women athletes of all kinds who were following them.
A league of their own.
Heads up, back straight, and sit.
Even though they had to jump through all kinds of hoops in order to get to play. They all had to go to charm school.
Don't slurp.
And learn how to put on makeup.
They wanted us to look like ladies and play ball like men, and that's what we did. See, this is our uniform.
Terry holds a bobblehead.
It had to be 6 inches above the knee, and there were skirts.
Archival footage.
Jimmy Eisen slides home with a run and a nicely bruised leg. Better a bruise than long pants, eh, gals?
You know, people thought, well, they're going to go out and have a good laugh, women playing in skirts, playing baseball. Well, when they came out and saw how well we played, they came back every night.
And in 1948, our league drew 1 million people.
At a game between the Kenosha Comets and the Rockford Peaches, the hitter runs to first.
I think they were feminists. They were playing baseball, for goodness sake. Women didn't do that.
Two players pass home plate.
They had the courage to do something so different in a time when
difference was not looked on as something good.
Teammates make plays across the field. Next, an old photo of Terry with three teammates.
We had a great group of gals. My good friend Betty, we played in the same team. She said, Terry, I don't know if you know anything about this. Where these women get together like another woman. And I said, no, I haven't. And she said, I just want to let you know what goes on so you're aware of it. Well, I'd never heard of those kind of girls. I mean, I didn't know which ones were which, but Betty and I weren't taking any chances. We'd lock our door. We'd move our dresser. We'd move our chairs. We'd put it at the door. Because we didn't want them in our room. I didn't know what to think until I met Pat. I don't know what happened, but that was it.
A hockey player skates. Then, in a photo, Pat and Terry wear hockey gear.
It was one of the best days of my life when I met her on that Sunday morning in the hockey rink in Moose Jaw. I think I was 18. She was like 22, maybe. Yeah. So it all started back in 1947. It seems like a double lifetime, really.
Hockey players skid across ice.
And we laugh because we think, how can that be, you know, so many years? And yet, it seems like it just started yesterday.
Ladies skate on an outdoor ice rink.
We went skating this one night together. And at the next corner, she'd go that way and I'd go this way. She said, here. And she handed me this piece of paper, so I could hardly wait to get to the next light. It was the most beautiful note that Pat wrote. And she says, I'm a reader. And I read lots of stories, but I've never known where another woman has loved another woman. And she says, above all things, I hope it's mutual. Well, I wanted to turn around and run back.
Townspeople flee from dust clouds.
We almost got locked in the Catholic Church once.
Because there was a sandstorm.
We were walking right down Main Street, and we kissed. Nobody could see us because it was a sandstorm.
It was really hard to get together. One time we checked into the hotel with no suitcase or nothing.
I can't believe we did that.
And I was very well known there because of sports.
And we played hockey. And our pictures would be in the paper. And I thought, oh my God, this is not the best thing to do.
But when I got her out to the farm, that was happy times.
Power lines pass overhead. A train rounds a bend.
When that holiday would come along, I'd be so excited about going home. And I said to Pat, I said, will you come home with me and I'll guarantee you you'll have a good time. So she said, no, I can't do that. I said, you do that. You be on that train and I'll be at the station. And then Pat came off the train and we had a good time.
In a photo, Rosie leans on Pat's shoulders. Terry smiles beside them.
In the meantime, I was going with Bill from Peoria, and he'd drive all the way up to Canada. And I said, you can come, but don't bring a ring.
He would come in the front door, and I'd go out the back with Terry.
Next, a field of grain waves in a breeze. Then, in a photo, a young man rests his arm around a young Pat.
I was almost married when I was 18, and the young man that I was engaged to died.
Another photo.
And then I was going with another young man. This was during the war. Going with another young man who was a pilot, and he was killed.
A third photo.
And then I was going with the son of a farmer. He was on a tractor that rolled over, and he died.
Pat sits alone.
All of these strange things are happening. And I thought, this is not what I was supposed to do.
Young Pat and Terry sit together.
That was before I met Terry. And that have changed everything.
Yeah, Patty, you were meant for me.
I think you're right.
Well, Pat and I both have been interested.
Oh, my God, I was with this guy. You know, this Len guy? Len and I drove down in 1949. We traveled with her team for 2 weeks. So we watched them play, and it was wonderful.
In a game, Terry runs to a base. In a photo, Pat and Terry wear pajamas.
I roomed with Terry and he had to stay at a hotel.
In a photo, Pat sits at a phone switchboard.
I was a long-distance operator. I could always find her. This is wild. It was just after the season, and you bought that old car.
Yeah.
Those other gals. They were driving from Chicago back to Moose Jaw.
That's 1,500 miles.
I found her along the way, and I found a motel, and she was there.
I couldn't get away with the thing. But I was shocked when the phone rang. It was bad.
Hi, Terry. She nearly slipped.
Young Terry and her friends gather around a phone.
Len, his mother and his dad wanted me to marry him. His sister was coming after me. His brother was coming after me. And I said, Terry, we got to leave. We have to get out of here.
Pat said, we're the only two people in the world like this. I said, well, let's go to the States.
We thought it would be easier to be ourselves.
We didn't know anybody. We were just happy to be together.
In a home movie, Pat bicycles through a park.
I was playing ball. Pat got a job. And then I went home after ball season to see my dad. And I told Pat I would be back. I came back and got a job.
A sign reads, Welcome home, Terry. Then the young couple sits together.
We got this furnished apartment. It had two rooms. It had a great big brown old chair that fit the two of us. It was hard to meet nice people, which we did after a while. We were very careful.
They lounge in a living room.
Really? You're not sure yet. What year? What year will you be sure?
Terry lowers her eyes.
I have worried about saying something to Al. I had five brothers, and I've lost all but one. And he's 3 years younger than me, and we're very close. I dearly love him. And he loves Terry. When we were on the phone, so I just blurted it out. I said, you know, Terry and I have been together for a long time, many, many years, I think. And I said, we're thinking about getting married. Big silence. And he said, you can't do it. It would hurt our family. I said, how could it possibly hurt our family? He said, I don't want you to tell anybody in my family.
I thought he'd act this way. I like Al. He's a wonderful guy, but he's very close-minded.
I said, I hope you have a change in your heart. What else can I say? So, I mean, if we decide we're going to get married, we will. Regardless.
Oh, yeah. He won't sway us either way.
No. And
if he can't accept it, that's his problem.
I can't see him walking away from his only sister. I can't see that happening.
The sun hangs over farmland.
I was born in Cabri, Saskatchewan.
A baby photo of Pat.
On September the 27th, 1928.
As a child, she grins with a boy.
And I had five brothers and a sister. There were seven of us.
The photos fade over fields of grain. A photo of farm equipment appears.
We had a really nice farm. We had cliffs. I used to go up there and write poetry. And we had creeks, and we had a dam and some horses. My dad had a small dairy, and he delivered milk to the people in town.
In a photo, Pat's dad holds a small child. Then, cows stand in a fenced-in field.
I had two brothers who were in the Air Force during the war. My brother, Wally.
Wally wears a uniform.
He was my mother's favorite child. He was her favorite. Anyway, he wanted to be a pilot. He was only 17, and she signed for him to join up.
Wally faces a commanding officer.
And he got to England on his 19th birthday. Oh, my. Anyway, he completed all his flights, the whole tour, and they borrowed him for one more flight. He was killed. He was shot down over Germany.
Clouds move across a pastel-colored sky. In a photo, young Pat stands with her mother.
Mother died 2 years later, I think, of heartbreak.
I was only 15 when she died.
Her mother disappears from the photo.
After my mother died, my dad remarried. And so I had a stepmother and a stepsister and two stepbrothers. We didn't think that she was the greatest mother in the world. They would go away for the weekend and they'd block all the good food in the basement.
Steam rises from a locomotive.
What kind of a household is this?
Train tracks extend toward a low-hanging sun.
In 1959, my father and my stepmother were killed at a railroad crossing.
A train rolls along a track. Then, a flash of light.
The train hit him and they were both killed.
In photos, wrecked train cars lie on their sides.
Terry's mom and dad came to the funeral.
In a picture, Terry's parents smile.
They were wonderful to me. After my mother died, I met Terry's mom and dad. The very first thing that Terry's father said to me is, I'm going to adopt you.
In photos, Pat lounges with Rosie and Jack.
Terry and her family, they loved me, and they showed it. And this is what everybody needs. You felt that you were loved and cared about.
An older Jack and Rosie sit beside Pat. Now, in Diana's kitchen, Diana, Kim, and Tammy rhythmically tap utensils.
Hey, that's good!
Can you hear?
Yes, it's great!
Tammy holds a guitar.
Okay, we were going to write you a fun song, but everything that came to me was just a love song.
Oh, that's good.
Me heart, me heart.
It's a love song. Hey?
Yeah.
Hey, that's Canadian.
You are my love.
Pat clasps Terry's hand. They share a look.
You are my love.
Terry moves her hand away and smiles.
So many years together, many more to come,
I hope.
You are
Terry bobs to the music.
So many years together.
I think after that song, but we will get married.
Pat and Terry grin.
Can I be a bridesmaid?
You can be a bridesmaid.
Can I be the best man?
Yes, you can be the best man.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Okay with you, Pat?
Yeah, let's do it.
Pat rests her hand on Terry's. Next, physical therapist Jeff Sandberg visits Pat and Terry's home.
So how have you been doing with doing the exercises, Mom?
Good.
Doing them?
I've been doing them.
What are you having difficulty with at this point?
It's the hip.
The hip?
Yeah.
Okay. Because you had both hips replaced.
Yeah,
no, so they were both replaced.
It's important to stay active, you know, because of the Parkinson's as well as for those hips. And just to stay active for...
I like these exercises very much, and I'll tell you why they don't go on and on and on and on.
Okay, I want to see how well you're getting out of that chair.
Terry stands.
One.
There you go.
She sits, then stands.
Two.
That a girl.
She extends her arms.
Three.
Those arms up a little higher.
Four.
Good.
Five.
Good.
Six.
Jeff does the same movements.
Seven.
Beautiful.
Eight.
Good.
And go ahead and relax.
You want to do 10? You can do 10.
Nine.
That's the athlete in you right there.
10.
There you go, Gary. There you go.
Nice job.
They high five.
Bring this foot forwards. So obviously some postural changes are normal as we age, but a tendency with Parkinson's, remember, is to lean forward and bend over a little bit.
Like an old lady.
Yeah, but you don't act like an old lady, Terry.
Terry swings light weights. Text appears 1 year later. At Pat and Terry's, Pat holds a phone. Terry sits in the kitchen, downcast.
Well, you know, she has days when she's not too bad and then days where it's not so great. But tomorrow, she's going to have a second shot. And we're just praying that this time is going to help her, because the first time it did her no good at all. The pain is terrible, and she's on pain pills. You know, she's supposed to take like one every 4 hours. We're trying to spread that out a bit. She doesn't take them that often. But, oh.
Terry stares off.
My one concern is her health. I want her to be well. I want her to be happy.
Pat helps Terry get ready.
There are so many things now that she's not able to do because of that tremor in her hand. So I watch over everything. I don't want her to be alone. It's a worry. What she means to me.
Pat's eyes glisten.
She means everything.
Okay, and here we go. All righty. Yes. Okay. Oh, I gotta be careful.
Yes.
With both their jackets on, they head for the door. Pat helps Terry put on her seatbelt.
What's worrying me is the deterioration that I'm seeing and the lack of progress that Pat's making in terms of trying to get a plan together to get them moving. I mean, she's not doing anything. She's not budging at all. And I'm getting frustrated with that. The problem is Annie Terry wants to move and Pat doesn't. I think I'm gonna have to do an intervention. I mean, that's the only choice I've got.
Pat walks Terry to a facility. Next, Pat shuffles to her back door with a slight limp.
There's nobody home.
Patty!
Hi, baby.
How are you?
Pat and Diana hug.
Oh, nice to see you at last.
My goodness, how
that
nice you look.
That little Diana. Look at you.
My
that
Diana.
That little Diana. I'm scared to see you, Patty.
Where is she?
Hi.
Doing pretty good.
Diana.
That's her little darling.
Diana embraces a frail Terry.
I'm good to see you.
My God, you must have been tired.
Oh, my God, it's good to see you.
Oh, it's wonderful. Now let me look at you.
They separate.
She looks wonderful.
You look great.
They embrace. Now they sit in the living room. The
last time I saw you guys, Annie Terry was probably 10 or 15, maybe even 20 pounds heavier.
Yeah.
Then than you are now.
Exactly. She should weigh about 125.
Are you eating?
Yeah, I'm eating.
I don't know if she's eating enough, though.
Yeah, probably not, eh? You got a good appetite.
Well, I'm eating as much as you, Pat.
No.
You've got the frozen dinners now coming in.
Yeah, we have frozen dinners that we buy.
This is the time in your life where you should be having people cook your meals. You should be having people clean your house. This is the time.
Terry's hand shakes.
That you should be not worrying about anything. And I think all we're all doing is worrying like crazy over what's going to happen.
Well, I had a dream. I dreamt that we sold a place with everything in it. And that's the way I think we should go.
Oh, I can't do that. Like these chairs, no way am I going to leave these.
Oh, Pat, you...
I am not going to leave these chairs. Those two lamps are going to go with us, that's for sure. Paintings, we're going to take the paintings, certainly.
And all this stuff, we've got stuff all over the place.
You can keep your stuff. Nobody's going to tell you. You don't have to give your stuff away, but we've got to get you out of here. I mean, I guess we have to figure out what place you want to live in.
Yeah,
like, do you
want
to live here or Florida? I know you don't want to come to Canada.
No. You know, Edmonton really doesn't turn me on. And I don't know why, but it doesn't.
Well.
I love Sarasota.
Yeah, I like Florida, too. It's very beautiful, and I have a good time when I'm down there. But it's no place for us now.
Nice and warm, nice and green.
And I can't drive. You don't know how long you can drive. And then you're stuck out there. You're looking at a golf course, and a little stream of water.
A little stream of water.
That's not the place. Not the place. Well, it wouldn't be so bad even if you found a nice place and stay here.
In St. Charles?
Yeah.
They must have nice places here that you can go into.
Very expensive.
Yeah, I
Yeah, but it's going to get very expensive anyway if one of you gets sick and the other one has to have a full-time person in here.
Pat raises her eyebrows.
Well, then maybe we should start looking at places here, do you think?
Yeah.
Patty?
Yeah, I suppose we could. Mm-hmm.
Terry stares at Pat with a furrowed brow. Then, Pat steps away. Diana stands with Terry, holding her arm.
Now, so when you're standing up like this, is it hurting you?
No, it never hurt right now.
Terry leans and takes a coaster off the coffee table.
I'm pretty good today yet, because I see you.
Diana leans her head against Terry's.
Maybe, Terry, we got to sort this out.
Yeah, we got to go to Edmonton. We can go away in the winter.
I don't think you're going to get agreement on that, darling.
They amble into the next room. Later, Diana approaches Pat, seated by a laptop. Diana holds a tablet.
Pull up that place that you just mentioned, Dell something.
I think it's Delmore Glen.
I can look it up on here if you want to keep doing what you're doing. It's
no,
no
I just
problem.
Want to get rid of this.
Then, in the dining room.
There's your pill, Terry.
Diana picks up Terry's sandwich.
You make sure you eat this whole thing.
Okay.
You have to. Pat, if we went to that place today, and they said to us that there's a spot open next month that you could have, we could do it.
No.
Yeah, we could. Mm-mm. We could. Once you put your mind to it, you get it done.
Now, Pat helps Terry into bed.
Okay. I don't want to sleep long.
In the dining room.
Hi, Debbie. My name is Diana Boland, and I'm here visiting from Canada. I'm visiting with my aunts. And I am interested in what your facility has to offer, and I was wondering if it would be possible for me to come over there this afternoon or tomorrow and take a look at it while I'm in St. Charles.
All right, you close your eyes. Okay. Alrighty. Okay.
In the dining room, Diana holds the phone and takes notes. Pat gazes toward the table. In a home movie, a younger Pat and Terry wear jackets and gloves. They do yard work around their home. Pat strolls across the yard. Terry carries two boards, then enters a cellar. Pat glances at the exterior of the home and smiles. Terry sets two branches on a pile. Now, in the dining room.
Okay, appreciate it a lot. Thanks a lot, Debbie.
Thank you.
Bye.
Did you find the Delmer?
I talked to Delmer Glenn, and
Terry and Pat sit with Diana.
One bedroom is $5,000 a month.
$5,000 a month?
And the extra person is $1,500. So it's $6,845 a month.
That's for
a
one
month?
Person.
For two.
For two. How much?
Almost $7,000.
That's 84 a year.
84,000.
Yeah.
That's a little bit pricey for me. I don't know. Better to croak, I think.
Diana considers. She chews lightly on her thumb.
So I wonder if there's any other places we could phone.
Terry heads into the living room. Diana flips through a phone book.
Retirement communities.
Let's see, I thought I had some stuff.
That's not a retirement. Oh, Marlene said she gave you a bunch of stuff. That's right.
Yeah. Well, we tossed it out.
You threw it out?
Yeah.
No, we did not throw it out.
I thought we did.
Something falls.
Well, what was that?
Here, honey, I got it.
Diana picks up the item.
Is anybody in here? Just for a minute.
What are you doing, Terry? There's an awful lot of stuff in there. You better not go in there. What are you trying to do, Terry?
I want to take another look.
Terry, they're not there. I guarantee it. We went all the way through there. There's nothing there.
Diana covers her mouth and glances toward the camera. Sunlight shifts across the outside of the home. Daylight fades. At night, through the open blinds of their bedroom window, Terry gets into bed. Pat adjusts Terry's covers.
I want to show Diana what I have.
No, don't.
Going to.
I don't want you to. No. No, absolutely not. Mm-mm.
Pat leans over Terry. Pat reaches toward a lamp. The bedroom goes dark. On a new day, Diana, Pat, and Terry sit in the dining room.
You've known me all my life. I don't know why you don't trust me.
I do, totally.
I have no motivation, nothing, except to take care of her.
So excited.
How can I not be excited when you're sitting all this money and you keep telling me you can't afford it? It doesn't make any sense to me. Annie Terry is at risk now.
I know.
And so are you. And I don't know why you don't want me to do anything or know anything. But I'm going to tell you, Pat, what I am is straight up, and I will never, ever, ever, ever let Annie Terry be at risk. I've been wanting to come down for a year, and I keep telling, no, don't come, don't come, don't come. I come here. She's 100 pounds. Your back is sore, and you don't know how much I love Annie Terry. You just don't. All I want is Annie Terry safe. That's all.
Diana.
I'm so tired of fighting with this.
I cannot believe that you feel that I'm trying to keep anything from you, because I'm not.
Diana hugs Terry.
I am not.
When you said that last night, it was like bang right in the heart.
What did I say?
You said to Terry, don't tell her anything.
What?
Don't tell her anything, Terry. Please don't tell her anything.
Well, that's really not true, because Pat
is No.
It's a game.
Well, I think you kind of know anyway, don't you, Diane? Didn't have
I told Annie Terry this morning I didn't want to see her stuff. She brought it out anyway. Good. I looked at it. She wanted me to see it. I looked at it. She said, I said, I don't want to see it. She said, this is my stuff. I can show it. You have enough money to go in there, into that place. You have more than enough money without the house. Mm-hmm. $1 million. What is the problem?
And why I ever would have said that is beyond me, frankly.
I can't believe it either, but she said it and she's sorry.
Isn't it stupid? I mean, you say stupid things, Diane.
Diane, God loves you.
I don't know why she said what she said.
I don't either. I don't know what the hell's wrong with me.
I'm sorry. I don't need anything like that. I just need her to take care of you.
Diana, please. I can't believe that... Did you feel this way about me, Diana? For God's sake, that is not all.
You know what the most important thing to me is? I watch you with Annie Terry, and it's a beautiful thing. The way you treat Annie Terry is just like a piece of gold, and that's all I care about. And I don't even care if you care about me, as long as you care
about
her.
Listen, will you stop this? Stop it, because I do love you, and I care about you.
Just take care of Annie Terry.
Now listen. Now you stop this crazy ranting and raving.
It's not. If I hadn't heard that last night, I wouldn't be feeling this way.
Damn it! And you know that I love you.
Then I don't understand the motivation for not telling me so that I can help you get everything organized. At this point, you got to let me in a little bit anyway. I just want in a little bit. I just want to make sure you're okay.
All the way, Diana.
That's all I want.
Pat shifts her gaze. Diana leaves.
You have a headache, Pat?
No. I have a heartache.
Terry studies her.
I feel very sad. I said, I feel very sad.
Pat gazes off. Next, colorful dishes and glassware rest on a table.
Dishes will take the habit.
Yeah.
Pat, Diana, and others go through the items.
That's a good one. Bell, Terry, bell. What
Diana smiles and takes the bell.
You want to keep or you want to give away?
This is beautiful, isn't it? I wonder what it's worth.
A sun-shaped ornament.
Bookcase is going.
Yep.
Dresser's going. And these pictures are all going to go, right?
Yeah.
A photo of Rosie.
Yeah.
Then, Pat helps a shaky Terry to her feet.
That's a good one. I don't know what to do with this ball.
I'm not throwing it in the garbage.
It's a brand new ball.
A VHS cassette rests on CDs. Records line up in rows.
I threw out 110 books.
Pat raises her eyebrows. A spider web clings to a porcelain figure. The man takes the figure, then wraps a duck-shaped bowl in paper. A person lifts a portrait. A baseball rests on a framed baseball card.
Everything's so dirty. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. All right.
In fast motion, movers carry a box and a dresser into a moving truck.
Peoria, Redway.
Terry holds a patch.
Bend your knees.
Oh, yeah, you can.
Diana holds a bat. Hands put a female baseball player bobblehead into a box.
This is going.
A mover holds an exercise ball. Movers hoist the dresser. A man carries a chair. Pat plops into another chair. A man takes paintings off the walls. The moving truck pulls away from the home. Inside the home, Diana flips through a photo album of Pat and Terry on vacation.
It's funny. Look at all these pictures. Women and gay guys.
In pictures, Terry beams beside other gray-haired women.
This is all her baseball friends. And Terry's going to be thrilled to see these pictures. Pictures of their travels and their friends. And I don't even know who these people are. These people. They have a whole other family besides us. They've had this whole other life.
In photos, Terry and Pat smile with gray-haired men. Diana sits by a suitcase, stuffed with papers and pictures.
This is just a bunch of...
Oh, my God Almighty.
Bunch of stuff here. Here, Patty, wait.
Oh, my gosh. Did I ever have a tan?
Pat holds a photo of her and Terry in dresses, then beach photos.
I can't believe how skinny I was.
Yeah, you look like Lauren Bacall. Oh, God, you
guys,
like, taking pictures in bed.
Oh, my.
In a picture, young Terry and her teammates stand by a plane.
Look at this.
Well, we're on our way to Cuba.
That's Havana.
You're on your way to Cuba.
It's a spring train.
There's you, Terry. You got a teacup in your hand.
This is Cuba.
Isn't that funny?
Patty, Terry, you're throwing your hat down to make a catch.
Well, you know, a lot of catchers didn't do that.
You were pretty cute, my dear.
I think these look like letters.
Oh.
Pat reads a letter and makes a face.
Holy shoot. This is something I wrote to Terry. God.
Are they what you wrote to Terry? Really, Pat?
Oh, dear.
Man,
I have to cry.
A home movie.
It's called Always I'll Remember This Night. It might have been just one more walk beneath the moonlight hue, but darling, it meant everything because I walked with you. It might have been just one more night, a single night of seven. My darling, you were there with me. 'Twas one more night of heaven. On we sauntered, seldom speaking, as we passed through Moonlight Lane. Happiness walked there inside me when you smiled and called my name. Hours fled like winged moments. Hand in hand, we walked alone. 'Twas one night I shall remember, one more night to call our own.
Patty, that's beautiful. Ooh. Beautiful.
You know what? You could put these in a book. I mean, they're beautiful.
I think so, too.
My goodness, there were quite a few of them, weren't there?
How come the bottoms are all ripped off?
We didn't want anybody to know that we'd written them, in case we picked them up to read them. You had to be very careful.
We thought if something happened to two of us, then our family wouldn't know what we were. And then it's true, isn't it, Pat? We've known people where their families disown them.
Did you think I was going to do that?
Well, yes.
Did you really?
We didn't know.
She didn't want to lose you.
We had to be careful.
Diana takes her hand. The letters, with their bottoms torn, lie in a pile on a rug. Then a car approaches Delnor Glenn Assisted Living in St. Charles, Illinois. Terry and Pat hold hands and board an elevator. Terry glances toward the camera as the door closes. They sit in a circle with other women, tossing balls to one another.
Terry!
Okay, Jenny.
They sit in a cafeteria. Then, Pat leads Terry into their apartment. Terry's foot nudges a plush toy dog. It rolls across the carpet. Terry grins.
Come on, come on, doggy.
She pushes the toy dog with her foot. It rolls in one direction, then the other. Terry beams. Pat checks on socks lying on a chair.
Still wet.
Then they sit in armchairs.
I feel like we're home now, don't you,
yeah.
Terry?
Every day is better. Well, to see our table all covered with papers and stuff, it feels like home.
We were sort of the reluctant debutantes. We weren't ready to come. You know, we really loved the house, and we had such a happy time there for 21 years. We weren't really ready.
Someone like Diana to say, we worry about you, you know, you gotta do this. We needed that push that she gave us.
Because she cared, and she wanted us to be happy, and she wanted us to be safe.
Yeah.
I think it's absolutely the right choice.
Yeah, I feel we were guided here.
There's not one person here that we don't like.
They're curious.
No, I have no feelings about sharing all those things. I don't think it's necessary.
No.
Terry drinks from an All-American Girl Baseball League glass. Outside, Kim pulls up to Delnor Glen riding a motorcycle. He dismounts and enters. In their apartment doorway, Terry and Pat meet Diana, a toddler, and other family members.
Hi, come on in. Oh. Come in. We'll give it a place,
Terry takes the flower and sniffs it. Diana hugs her.
Come on in, Jackson.
It's beautiful. Come on in.
Come see the aunties.
Pat takes out a floral top. Terry brushes her hair. Pat and Terry apply makeup. Then, they stroll down a hallway surrounded by family and friends.
Can't believe we're doing this.
You better believe it.
Happy birthday and all that.
John kisses Terry.
Yeah, and all that.
And all that.
You better believe it.
Kim walks with Pat and Terry.
Yeah, you guys, let's do it.
Let's go.
Diana records them on her tablet.
Cry if you want. You guys aren't getting cold feet?
No.
In the cafeteria.
Oh, it's beautiful.
They sit under a balloon arch.
And we can hear you.
Diana has a video call with Tammy.
Want to say hi to her?
She holds the phone toward the couple.
Hey, Tammy.
I love your balloons.
Hi, Tammy.
We
miss you here.
Wish you were here, Tammy.
Yeah.
Friends. The brides are indeed ready, so I invite you to gather round as we celebrate a It's About Time celebration.
The officiant stands by the couple.
And it is about time. And we begin with the words of E.E. Cummings. I carry your heart with me. I carry it in my heart. I am never without it. Anywhere I go, you go, my dear. I fear no fate, for you are my fate, my sweet. I want no world, for beautiful you are my world. I carry your heart. I carry it in my heart.
Pat and Terry hold hands.
Terry and Pat, you are here today in the company of family and friends to join your lives together in the sacred and formal and legal institution of marriage.
Jack, John, and others watch.
Do you, Emma Marie Henschel, take this woman, Teresa Paz Donahue, to be your wedded wife?
I do.
Do you promise to love her and honor her and cherish her as you share your life with her? And to be to her a loving and understanding companion through all of your days?
I will.
Do you, Teresa Paz Donahue, take this woman, Emma Marie Henschel, to be your wedded wife?
I do.
Do you promise to love her and honor her and cherish her as you share your life with her and to be to her a loving and understanding companion through all of your days?
I do.
Pat, take Terry's ring.
Pat takes a ring from the officiant.
Place it on her finger and say to her, Terry, with this ring, I marry you.
Terry, with this ring, I marry you.
And Terry, take Pat's ring. Place it on her finger and say to her, Pat, with this ring, I marry you.
Pat, with this ring, I marry you.
Their gazes meet. They grip each other's hands.
Pat and Terry, with the exchange of your vows and your rings, you have begun in law that which has existed in faith and in love for very nearly 70 years. We celebrate the journey you have taken together. We rejoice that you need no longer call each other cousin. At last. At last you may call one another beloved wife. Now you may each kiss the bride.
Pat and Terry kiss. They share a smile. The guests grin. Then everyone holds a drink.
I want to tell you that this is a glorious day, and we want to thank everybody that's here for coming. You have been beloved friends over the years, and we're very grateful for you being their other family. So thank you for being here. Congratulations to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes.
A man hugs the couple.
Yes, I'm glad you're here.
Me too.
Yeah.
Guests serve themselves at a buffet. Pat and Terry sit at a table with some family members. John and Jack dine with others at another table. A fork taps a beer bottle. Terry grins, then kisses Pat. Pat feeds Terry a piece of cake. Terry does the same to Pat. John stands by Pat and a brunette relative. Terry chats with Jack and Diana. Two guests beam.
They're your other family.
Yeah.
Yes, that's true.
Kim stands behind them. 106. A bespectacled woman shakes her head and smiles. Pat grins. Then, text appears over a weathered love letter. Just married. Now, Pat and Terry hold hands. Pat lies in a hospital bed.
You look better today.
I do?
Yeah.
That's because I have on a red shirt.
Are you walking?
With the walker, not without it.
Well, the two of us are going to be a good pair.
Well, we always have been a good pair, Terry.
Yeah.
We now are into our 70th year, so...
When you come home, I'm going to treat you really nice.
You always treat me nice, Terry. You always do treat me nice, sweetheart.
Terry sits in a wheelchair.
You're a beautiful little girl.
Terry bends slowly towards Pat's hand and kisses it.
There you go. There you go, my dear.
I love you, Patty.
I love you too, sweetheart.
You're going to be okay. Baby, you better be a good girl and eat.
Mm-hmm.
And eat.
Oh, Terry. Terry, I'm trying all I can. But if I can't eat, I can't eat.
Terry eyes her. Pat stares ahead. Then, Terry sits in an elderly physical therapy class. Elsewhere, she holds her shaking hands.
Listen, honey, don't you worry.
Well, honey, you know I worry about you, and I just want you both to be happy and healthy. I know that that damn Parkinson's is tough to manage, and I remember what you told me about growing old isn't for sissies. And so you're a tough cookie, and I know you're hanging in there, but if you need me, all you have to do is call me, okay?
Yeah.
And Patty, promise me you'll phone me if you need me to come down.
Honey, I will.
Okay.
Bye.
Love you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
In physical therapy, Pat uses a hand bike.
When we thought about it and talked about it, we decided the best thing to do was to come back to Canada.
Now, a mover pushes a stack of boxes past a row of other boxes. Diana brings several bags into an RV. She loads a thin box into the back. Pat leans on a walker outside the RV door.
There you are. Hi, honey.
Get in there.
I'm going to help you, all right?
Get in there, she says.
Inside, Terry stares off. A young man helps Pat on board.
Here I am, Terry.
Yeah.
Okay. Sit down here.
Yeah,
would you like a good morning kiss or something?
No, not until you get...
Not until I sit down?
Sit down.
Nearby, Diana looks through paperwork.
We've got to get going.
Well, you should talk.
You're giving it to me today, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
That's okay. I love you anyway.
Diana counts pills.
Come on, Auntie Terry. You've got to be nice to your little honey now.
And she won't even give me a kiss.
How come?
Terry?
What?
You want to give me a good morning kiss?
I'm thinking about it.
You're thinking about it? Tell me when you're ready.
A glassy-eyed Terry stares ahead.
Huh?
I'm looking at the camera.
Here, come on. Give me a kiss.
Pat kisses Terry.
Everyone, we're ready. We're moving.
We're moving? Okay.
The RV drives away from Delnor Glen. It rolls through a neighborhood and passes Pat and Terry's home.
Oh, there's our house, Terry.
Yeah.
Oh.
26 years, yeah. 26 years.
Yeah.
Archival footage of the home.
Loved it. Absolutely loved living there. Didn't we, Terry?
Yep. And now we're going on.
The RV drives along an open road. Farmland flanks the highway. The RV passes brown fields that stretch to the horizon.
Can I have this chance? Shall we take a chance? So long.
Diana sits with Terry and Pat as the RV journeys on. It reaches the Canadian border. Pat and Terry eat ice cream. On a counter, a teddy bear wears an autographed All-American Girl League uniform.
We're in Canada.
We're in Canada.
The text of a love letter appears around the road. In a photo, young Pat and Terry hold each other. The RV's license plate reads, "Let's go." A mural touts the teams, the Jewels, and the Moose Jaw Royals.
Second base coming up. Slide.
On a baseball field, a man pushes Terry in a wheelchair.
We were kind of breaking the rules back then.
Exactly. All of us have played ball in the 40s, broke the rules.
Young Terry holds out her baseball mitt.
You kind of broke the rules your whole life.
Yes, I have. That's why I'm happy. Right?
Felt good to break the rules?
Yes.
Terry and Pat gather with family.
You're in Canada. You're here.
Footage of Tammy.
Yeah!
But anyway, you guys, you're home with family.
I'm glad you're here.
Footage of Kim, followed by footage of Terry.
I think it was a right move because I think that Terry, especially Terry, needed to be here with them.
The family cheers. In home movies, Rosie beams. Terry smiles with her father. A young Diana grins.
I did manage to get them here. And so now that I've got them here, I'm really grateful for it. And whatever I have to do, I'm going to do. I just am so glad they're here. I am so glad they're both here.
Terry watches as Pat, Diana, Tammy, and others clink beer bottles. In a home movie, Pat and Terry play badminton. Pat plays golf. Terry grins atop a lifeguard chair. The young couple stands in front of a sunset and waves. Then they grin by a body of water.
No regrets. I'd do it all over again.
In archival footage, the couple sits on a beach.
I think love is love, and that's the most important thing.
Inside, they exchange sun hats. The couple shares a smile. Text appears. Pat and Terry lived happily together for almost 2 years at Touchmark Senior Living in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Terry Donahue died on March 14, 2019. She is survived by her partner of 72 years, Pat Henschel. Audio description provided by International Digital Center. Written by Richie Pepio. Voiced by Amanda Bruton. Credits. In association with Now This. Sound mixer, Doug Mara. Music supervisor, Trisha Holloran. Music by Duncan Thumb. Cinematographer, Stephen Kazmierski. Editor, Bernadine Kolish. Co-executive producers, Tina Exarchos, Ethan Stephanopoulos, Suzanne Kolb. Executive producers, Alexis Martin Woodall, Marcy Wiseman, Jeremy Gold, Mary Lizio, Jason Blum. Produced by Alexa L. Fogel, PGA, Brendan Mason, PGA, Ryan Murphy, PGA. Written by Chris Bolin, Alexa L. Fogel, Brendan Mason. Directed by Chris Bolin.
Take this chance on me if I'm still warm. When the last bell's rung, take this chance with me. Doesn't matter where we've been. Doesn't matter where we're going to.
Copyright 2020, Extra Innings, LLC. All rights reserved. Logo. Blumhouse.
A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.